Oh, hi there. Welcome. This is a special baby mini episode of Words and Movies. And I am your little baby co-host, Claude Call.
And I'm your big baby co-host, Sean Gallagher. And there have been a couple of major movie-related events that have happened this month that I feel that need to be discussed here. First of all, it was exactly last Tuesday, June 20th, that the top five folks who worked at Turner Classic Movies, Paula Changnon, who was the chief, Charlie Tabesh, who was the senior VP in charge of programming and content strategy, Genevieve McGillicuddy, who was the vice president of enterprise, Dexter Fedor, I hope that's how he pronounced his name, the vice president of marketing, and Ann Wilson, who was the studio production director, were all let go by the new CEO of Warner Brothers plus Discovery, David Zaslav. Either they were fired or they were forced to take buyouts. And also within this week, the staff of Turner Classic Movies has shrunk considerably. Now, the reason why we bring all this up, for those of you who either never heard of Turner Classic Movies or have cut the cable and have maybe forgotten, Turner Classic Movies, which has been around since 1994 and was ironically created by Ted Turner, who first angered movie fans when he wanted to colorize all black and white movies, but never mind. They are a cable channel that is dedicated to showing movies, mostly classic movies, that are uncut and commercial free. Now, that's not all they do. They also have a classic film fest. They have a classic film cruise. But within what they show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the channel, you know, they'll have things like special months devoted to certain programming. For example, they have 31 Days of Oscar, which used to be in February, but since the ceremony got moved back to March, they do it in March. They have month-long blocks dedicated to horror movies during October and Christmas movies during December. They have every August something called Summer Under the Stars, where every day is dedicated to one star's films. And they have special things like Noir Alley, hosted by Eddie Muller, which is on Sundays at midnight and 10 a.m. They have Silent Sundays, which is actually technically Monday at midnight, but who cares? And TCM Imports. And they'll have things like Black History Month. They had a celebration of the 100th anniversary of Warner Brothers and all things like that. But the
I think it's also worth noting that, you know, they also have like these little interstitial pieces that run in between the movies. So some of it will be like some of those shorts that used to run in between films back in the day when you needed shorts to, because the films, everything would just run continuously. So you had like little travelogues, that kind of thing. They'll show cartoons. Like lately they've been showing a lot of Popeyes on Saturday mornings, and Batman serials on Saturday mornings, or sometimes it's Flash Gordon, that sort of thing. But the other thing they do is they are very dedicated to just the preservation of the art, and they, you know, they will finance or they will partner up with various agencies to restore films. to bring them back to their original look, and to just ensure that some of this stuff, which is, you know, especially the older material, which is on that really fragile nitrate, is brought back and preserved and brought into a format that will last a little bit longer, so that we don't lose more than the vast amount that we've lost already.
The reason why I'm mentioning all the things that they do is that, unlike almost every movie studio these days that's in existence, which only seems to live for content or IP or whatever have you, TCM is still one of the few holdouts that feels that, hey, movies are an art form.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to remember that and cherish that. And yes, they are showing more newer movies as of late. And yes, they are interrogating some of those older movies in how they handled race and sexuality and women and things like that. But they are still showing those classic movies. Now, also what's happened within the past week is that there's been a howl of protest about what's happened to Turner Classic Movies from on Twitter, from people like Mark Harris, Patton Oswalt, and Ryan Reynolds. And three of the channel's most famous and dedicated fans, Paul Thomas Anderson, Martin Scorsese, and Steven Spielberg, all three of whom are directors who have devoted themselves to old movies and have been influenced by them and have made shout-outs to them through their entire body of work, got in a conference call with David Zaslav to plead with him to keep the channel. Now, they did release a statement after that call saying that they feel that he is going to keep the channel as is and not muck it up too much, not muck it up at all. And also Dave Karger, who is one of the hosts at TCM, which is another feature that these hosts will introduce the movies and talk about them. And he introduces a musical matinee every Saturday, as well as other movies throughout the weekend and sometimes during the week. And he went on, I think it was Instagram, to assure people that nothing drastic was going to happen to the channel, despite all the people that have left.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, you know, you're not talking about, like, you got those top five, but TCM originally had a staff of about 90, and now they're down to, 20. So that's a huge, huge cut that's going on
here. Yes. Now, I did mention that there was a huge cut. I didn't give the numbers, though. And what I was going to say is that all of what Karger, Anderson, Scorsese, and Spielberg have said may sound encouraging, but what David Zaslav has been doing to other parts of the Warner Discovery empire gives one pause, let's just put it that way, not least of which giving a former president who tried to perform a coup on or have his followers perform a coup on January 6, 2021, giving him a forum to spout his views being the worst of it. So I'm sure I'm not alone in saying that I trust David Zaslav about as far as I could throw him.
To be sure. And, now, you know, he's also the guy responsible for changing HBO Max into Max, which,
right,
you know, we don't want any of the baggage of the prestige of HBO, so we're just going to call it Max now.
And letting a lot of content go from that as well.
To be sure.
Now, there have been some suggestions about what to do with TCM to ensure that it doesn't get shuttered. Richard Brody from The New Yorker, a critic who I'm not normally a fan of, apparently came up with the idea that it should be a not-for-profit streaming channel. And I wouldn't mind that so much. I would only remind him that when Turner Classic Movies and the Criterion Collection teamed up to form Filmstruck under the umbrella of AT&T, even though it was a slow but steady viewership with a loyal following that was making maybe a decent profit, if not, you know, up through the moon, that apparently wasn't enough for them. So again, good idea, but I don't know if even the powers that be would let that work.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because, you know, because the other thing is that TCM also used to be, and it might still be in your area, Sean, where you live in New York City, part of the basic cable package. Like, it just came with your cable.
Yes.
That's not the case anymore in a lot of areas. Now, in my area, I've got Xfinity, Comcast. You have to pay extra for TCM. They've got it packaged with a lot of sports channels. And I am one of those people. I love TCM. I watch it all the time. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to pay the extra money every single month to get all these other channels that I do not watch so that I can get TCM. I go through the same thing with the other cable system that I deal with, which is Spectrum. And it's the exact same thing. It's kind of repackaged. And if you want the TCM, you're going to have to pay an extra $13 to get these sports channels plus TCM. So it's not like there's any other entertainment channel that's being slotted in with TCM. It's TCM and a bunch of sports channels that I ain't watching, which I guess is nice because down in the condo, you know, it's a selling point that, hey, I've got all these sports channels and TCM that all the other, you know, units in the building don't have. But, you know, this is something that they've already taken some sort of steps toward monetizing it just a little bit more, and it doesn't seem to be enough. And, you know, this is kind of the way Zaslav operates. I mean, you know, you mentioned the forum on CNN, and chances are that it was Chris Licht that took most of the damage on that and did indeed get fired because he was the guy in charge of TCM, but nothing he did didn't go through Zaslav. And so you do have to worry about that. You know, when changes were made, like, what was it, a year or two ago? You know, I was worried then. And now I don't know what to think, frankly.
Let's talk about what's been happening this month with the Criterion Channel. Oh. We have mentioned the Criterion Channel when we mention about which movies that we've been discussing are streaming on the channel, and they also are the type of folks to have themes every month. And one of the themes that they had in June was method acting. And one of the movies that they programmed in that method acting block was the Oscar-winning The French Connection, directed by William Friedkin and starring Gene Hackman, who also won the Oscar for his lead performance. Now, in case you didn't hear about this, to make a very long story short, there is a scene in the movie between Hackman and his partner, played by Roy Scheider, where Hackman casually drops the N-word while talking about an informant of his with Scheider. And the version of the movie that is showing on the Criterion Channel, and I have not watched it to be sure, it cuts 5 seconds out of that scene, specifically when Hackman's character is dropping the N-word.
Criterion did this?
No.
Oh, okay.
You're getting ahead of the story.
Okay.
So, what apparently, when you're watching the scene, it looks rather awkward. Now, a lot of people have stoked outrage about this, particularly Jeffrey Wells, who, if you don't know, was a writer at Entertainment Weekly, I believe, and now for the last 25 years or so, he's hosted his own blog, Hollywood Elsewhere. And there have been a few others who have jumped on the bandwagon as well, claiming that Criterion was essentially censoring the movie so as not to offend modern-day tastes. Now, let me just say this before I delve into what is really going on. I despise censorship in all forms, whether it's coming from the left or the right. I was very unhappy when Steven Spielberg, in a reissue of the DVD of E.T., decided to edit out the guns from the government agent's hands when Henry Thomas and the others are riding away from them on their bikes. And
I think he turned them into radios, didn't he?
Something like that. Yeah. And I am unhappy about all of these editions of books with the offensive words censored out of them or have them substitute for something else. But what really happened in this case is, while there are a number of movies that air on the Criterion Channel that Criterion does own outright, there are also a number of movies that Criterion leases from someone else, which is why they, along with every other streaming service, have movies that they announce will be leaving the channel by the end of the month. One of those movies that they licensed was The French Connection. The French Connection was originally released in 1971 by 20th Century Fox, who is now no more, who is owned by Disney. And Glenn Kenny, who we've mentioned before on the show, And full disclosure, I actually met him once, and he is a nice guy, and he is an intelligent man, not someone to be taken in, and did his research, and he reached out to Criterion, which told them that the version they got is the one that Disney gave to them, and he reached out to Disney. And he also realized that, or remembered, that when The French Connection was put out on Blu-ray several years ago, there was a lot of complaints about the quality of the colors in the movie and how the print looked on Blu-ray. And eventually they had to change it back or whatever. And the person who supervised that original transfer to the Blu-ray that got everyone up in arms was William Friedkin, the director of the movie. And it is Kenny's suspicion, and he wrote an article about this online. If you Google it, you'll be able to find it, that it was Friedkin himself who cut out the 5 seconds. Hmm. Now, I'm going to make a disclosure here. I have never been a fan of Friedkin as a director, you know, except for The Night That Raided Minsky's, which is an entertaining film, The French Connection, which is technically brilliant and is well acted, and To Live and Die in L.A., which is also technically brilliant and well acted. His movies have never done much for me. I'm one of those who cannot understand how anyone could believe that Sorcerer is superior to the original version, The Wages of Fear. And I flat out despise The Exorcist, Cruising, Rampage, Rules of Engagement, and especially Jade, which until I saw The Life of David Gale was my least favorite movie of all time. I am a little more inclined to believe that Friedkin was the one who did the deed. And either way, it was either him or Disney that did this and not the Criterion Channel. So the lesson here is, well, there's two lessons here for me. First, you should always do a little digging before you assign blame and call a channel that is devoted to presenting and preserving movies as an art form, just like TCM is, before you start criticizing them as quote unquote woke. And the second thing I would say is, while again, I am against censorship, A, for those who think that the 5 second scene is 5 second snippet is illustrative of the art of the move of The French Connection and how the movie views Hackman's character, I think that's giving Friedkin a little too much credit. And B, yes, plenty of offense intended. A lot of the people have been calling Criterion Channel woke about this and saying, oh, they're scared of modern sensibilities. They sound like, or they're coming across as, the kind of people who wishes that Hollywood go back to the good old days in how they depicted people of color. So if you're going to side yourselves with them, you better take a long, hard look at yourself.
There you go. And in the meantime, you know, if there's anything you can do, and there is, you know, get in touch and show your support for TCM, because this is a valuable, valuable resource that we cannot afford to lose.
Sign petitions, give money, whatever. All right, that's it.
That is it, at least for now. We've got a new episode coming up in just a couple of days. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon.